Yeah, my phone actually developed amnesia. It's all right. Tasmat. Therefore. Priyatamaha. Most dear. Svatma. One's own self. Sarvesham. For all. Api. Indeed. Dehinam. Embodied living beings. Tadartam. For the sake of it. Eva. Certainly. Sakalam. All. Jagat. The created universe. Etat. This. Chara acharam. With its moving and non-moving entities. Translation. Therefore, it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being. And it is simply for the satisfaction of this self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exists. You can repeat. Therefore, it is his own self. That is most dear to every embodied living being. And it is simply for the satisfaction of the self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exists. So, purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. The word chidacharam indicates moving living entities such as animals and non-moving living entities such as trees. Or the word may also refer to moving possessions, such as one's family and pets, and non-moving possessions, such as one's house and household paraphernalia. Interesting. So, tasmat priyatama svatma sarvesham apidehinam tadartameva sakalam jagadetach churacharam. Om Ganati Vrandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we are very much in favor of selfishness. And I'm going to elaborate what I mean. Of course, in the material world, selfishness is of different varieties, and it expands to a certain extent. For example, the first type of selfishness is I and mine, which are the divisions of false ego. And then you have the body. And then you do everything for the body. And then it expands a little more. Pumsa Striya, sorry about that. Mituni Bhav Metam, Tayor Metam, Abridi Kuntiha, Atograha, Kshetra Sittata Vitar, Tanashi Moho, Yam Hum Rameti. It expands to, let's say, wife, and then the wife. Actually, in Sanskrit, when you refer to women, it has many different words that refer to women, but one word is stri. Stri means that which expands your material enjoyment. So it's not a very nice word to use for ladies. It's like in Bhagavad Gita, you know, stri suja dvija bandhunam. It's considered actually almost pejorative. That means a negative word. So, anyway, so, but there's other words that are very nice in relationship to women. Anyway. And so, man gets married, pumsa striya, the man and the woman, pumsa, purusha, striya, they get married, and pretty going to hold on, the heart becomes tightened, and then the self conception becomes expanded at that point. Tayor really come to Atogra, etc. And then we got the home, Sutapta, Sutta, the children, Vitara, and all the paraphernalia, and expands like that. So that's That's also selfishness, one type of selfishness. And then you expand a little bit more. I guess you have different types of expansions. One is the racial expansion. Another one, in other words, people of my race were the master race, whatever that means. Then you have, you know, very similar to that is my caste. You know, whether I'm a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, I'm very proud of my caste. Just like in Gujarat, for example, they have not only the four castes that we're familiar with, but they have subcastes, many different subcastes. And it's required by many people that when you're arranging marriages, that you have to arrange marriage between people of the same caste. It's like one time I was doing a sannyasi's business of arranging marriages, which I get a reaction for each time I enter into that particular endeavor. And I got informed, it's not going to work out. I said, why? He said, because it's different castes. And they were both the same Varnashram caste, but different subcastes within Gujarat, so I don't mess with Gujarati marriages anymore. So, it's interesting. Other marriages, they're born in Bihar, then I can do something about it. So anyway, getting to the point, and then there's other types of expansion, because the nationality is a further expansion, and then humanitarianism is a further expansion from that. And then all the animals, a further expansion from that. But and then you can even expand that, like the impersonal conception, everything is one, we're all one. And these are all types of selfishness. And then further and further, the Krishna conscious expansion is we're all parts and parcels of Krishna. Not only are we connected to Krishna, but all acharam, all the moving and non-moving things in every category are connected to Krishna. In other words, Ishvasham idam sarvam yatkin cha jagatam jagat. Everything is meant to be utilized to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam, that everything comes from Krishna, everything's an expansion of Krishna. It's all his energies. Parasha Shaktir Daiva Shuyate Svabhaviki Jnana Balav Kriyacha. Krishna has multifarious energies. So that's the type of extended selfishness we want. You know, if you understand who you are in relationship to Krishna, then you can be very selfish, because the way to please yourself, for a typical example, is to please Krishna. And you are connected to Krishna. I mean, when you talk about yourself, you can't even think about yourself separate from Krishna. In fact, that's described in the Bhagavatam, one of the nutshell verses, that you see anything rite ritam na pratyeta chatmani tad vidyadapano mayam yathavasha yathatamaha. If you see anything that's not connected to Krishna, that's illusion. As simple as that. So you're connected to Krishna. You're part and parcel of Krishna. So when you think about that, it's really wonderful. So anyway, so to develop that consciousness of understanding you're part and parcel of Krishna, therefore you have the process of bhakti yoga. And I was thinking about this, how bhakti yoga is very much, just like this word kriya is used here, is very much dealing with deep emotions in relationship to Krishna. And I was thinking about that on the trip back, because on the trip back from India, I have a confession to make. I was reading the Ramayana. This is true confessions. Like, even when I was in Braj, oh my God, before I was taking rest every night, I was reading the Ramayana. And so the part of the Ramayana I was reading on the trip back, it's really wonderful. I mean, it's a story, but it's a love story. And not just Sita and Ram. You know, generally we think Ramayana, Sita, Ram, Sita gets sent away, well, all right, fine. But the part I was reading was not precisely about Sita and Ram. It was about Dasharath and Ram. And I was thinking about, you know, the mood of separation, how Krishna acts in such a way to really draw out our intense emotions. That's what love means, intense emotions. It doesn't mean just like, you know, you pick up your cat and pet it. So I really love little, whatever, fluffy, whatever.
All right, we had a request to move the mic a little closer.
Okay, I will move it.
For the folks on the computers.
Okay, folks on the computer. Okay, so I'll get it back to fluffy. So it doesn't mean, you know, oh, I just love this, or I love skiing. There's it. In India, they're getting into all these nonsense activities that we've done in the West. I was reading the magazine on the airplane, and, you know, the water skiing, they're advertising water skiing. I was thinking, this is India, the land of religion. Why are they getting into all this Western nonsense, hang gliding, water skiing, all this garbage? And then recently in Ahmedabad, they finished constructing the biggest cricket stadium in the world. Perhaps you read about that. It holds over 110,000 people. That is, India's the land of religion. You know, cricket? That's Indian religion, I guess. I guess I was right. India's the land. So, anyway, get it. So love means just like really intense emotions. I mean, that's really what we're meant to develop. So, anyway, reading the Ramayana, because you're about most dear, you know, it just sounds, oh, you're dear to me. Whatever. My computer is most dear. My, you know, my glasses, my new watch, electronic watch is most dear to me. But it means the super intense emotion. So, I was thinking about how Krishna acts in such a way in his various incarnations to draw out these intense emotions. So in the Ramayana that I was reading, you have the story of Kaikeyi, that wonderful nurse, Mantura. I'll tell the story. So once upon a time, Dasharath, who is the father of Ram and Lakshman, Vajrasatyugna, and he had three wives, no comment. And so basically he was thinking, let us install Ram. And the reason he wanted to install Ram at that particular juncture is because he saw some inauspicious symptoms in the atmosphere and astrologically. So he thought, you know, so we got to do something. You know, I may pass away at any time, so I have to install Ram. So what he did was that he called for Ram and said, I want to install you as what they call in the Ramayana a regent. Regent means the next king, or someone to be like, help the king, so he's going to be the inherit the kingdom. Actually, Bhishma also got installed as the regent, but then he had to renounce that to satisfy his father. So he called for Ram, and everybody was joyful. You know, see sometimes how the Lord pulls the rug out from under your joy to bring you closer to Him. So everyone was joyful. Oh, Ram is going to be installed the next day. And, you know, they were decorating the city. You know, it's a lavish description in the Ramayana about the decorations of the Valmiki Ramayana. The decorations in the street and the elephants, you know, with perfumed water on their little noses. I know you sense a trunk. But and just like spraying the streets and how everybody was joyful. And then Kaikeyi, who was one of Dasharatha's wives, he actually had three wives but a lot of consorts, which is interesting. Not only... You know, I guess Kshatriyas have to be pretty romantic. Consorts means other ladies he had a relationship with. This is bona fide in those days, not today. So anyway, so what happened is everyone was joyful then. Kaikeyi was there. She hadn't heard the news yet. And Mantra came and said to her, this is horrible horror. I said, what's happening? And Kaikeyi said, what's the problem? And Mantara said, don't you understand? You're finished, basically. You're going to become a slave. And she said, what's the problem? And Ram's going to be installed. See, no Ram, but anyway. Ram's going to be installed. And she says, that's great! That's fantastic. Mantara basically convinces her after that point that you don't understand, you're going to be a slave and your son is to be treated really bad. But he treated really bad. And so gradually she wins her over and Kaikeyi's mind becomes infected. And she says, but how am I going to do it? And Mantara says, remember the boons your husband promised you when you saved him from the battlefield. You took him off the battlefield. He was unconscious and was going to die. So remember the boons. And he said, yes, first of all, ask him to send Ram to the forest and install a bark. And so she did that. And then she goes into her crying room. In every palace, there's a crying room. And she's crying, you know, imitation. And then Dasrath is just so joyful. Ram is going to be installed. He just wants to break the news to Kaikeyi. And he says, you know, that's his favorite wife, but she's the youngest and prettiest. The other one's actually past their prime. Trading up a computer, you know, look at my computer. And I think, you know, when can I trade it and get another one? Find a nice disciple who buy me another one. So past the prime. And so, anyway, so he goes to her and he doesn't find her. He says, where is she? And the servant says, she's in the angle room. And he goes into the angle room and she just like puts on this big act for him. And basically she says, you know, you remember those promises? Will you give me anything I ask for? And he says, yes. She says, get up again, my sweetness, you know, material love. And she gets up and she asks for her benedictions. And he faints. Anyway, I'm getting to the point. So he faints and then gradually he basically goes into a coma and then begs her, you know, emotionally. So the question is, why is all these emotions there? Of course, you can say in one sense he was cursed by the parents of a young Brahmin boy, Shravan Kumar, to die feeling separation from his son, just like his parents passed away feeling separation from their son. So you could say, you know, that's just really external. The Vedic literature is filled with all these curses. Actually, all over the place is curses. But the curse is just an excuse for the Lord's purpose, the Lord's pastimes to take place. That's like we see that Lord Chaitanya was cursed, Narada Muni was cursed. We find so many curses in the literatures, and they're always part of the pastimes of the Lord to ensure that something happens. So, anyway, he was cursed. So what happens is that he's feeling this intense emotion, so it's actually deepening his attachment for Ram. This whole thing is deepening his attachment for Ram. So the point I'm making is that Krishna, whatever Krishna does for his devotees, is to deepen their attachment. Like you see, Queen Kunti, she's also asking for more and more difficulties like that. Tatra, Jagat Guru, Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Of course, she says Apunar Bhavadarshanam, but she's already liberated. But it just brings you closer to Krishna. The more difficulty there is, it just brings someone closer to Krishna. So, anyway, so Dasa's emotions become extremely intense. Even when Ram comes to receive instructions from Dasrath later on, Dasrath can't give him the instructions. And Kaikeyi gives him the instructions, you know, go to the forest, let Bharat be enthroned. And Ram It's interesting. He's completely neutral through the whole thing. He's just like completely cool-headed. Because there's no, obviously with the Lord, there's no material attachment. So he's just like, okay, I'll go to the forest. Follow the order of my mother and father. You know, considering Kaikeyi to be his mother. It was just like very neutral. However, later on, when Ram sees, this is emotional discussion, when Ram sees the emotions of his mother, he becomes distraught, which is interesting. So, in other words, no attachment to kingdom. Of course, Ram is the king of kings. You know. It's a nice thing that Christianity, Jesus Christ is described as the king of kings. So Ram is actually the king of kings. It's a, you know, obviously he owns everything. But this is a pastime, it's under Yoga Maya. And he completely neutral when he's told he can't become the king or the emperor, actually. Because Dashrath was controlling the whole world at that particular juncture. And so, but then when he goes and has to interact with his mother, he's reflecting her particular lamentation. Very interesting. So he actually feels very much distraught that his mother is like that. He's begging his mother to let him do his duty and go to the forest. Anyway, so then he goes to inform Sita Devi, and he tells Sita Devi, you know, this basically very neutrally, you should stay at home, protect my mother, make sure everything's all right. And she's experiencing these intense emotions too. She says, if I can't go with you, I'll drink poison and kill myself. Really intense. I'll drink poison and kill myself. So basically, after this whole discussion, he goes through a whole discussion trying to convince her to stay. And after that whole discussion, she wins the argument with Ram. And he agrees, and you can come with me. But then, you know, how are you going to live like that? You have to wear tree bark. Later on, when they give her the tree bark to wear, she doesn't even know how to put it on. It's very interesting. She has her silk sari, and she can't even figure out, you know, what am I supposed to do with this? And Ram has to put on her outfit for her. I'm leaving her by some discussion. And then, anyway, then Ram goes to Lakshman, tells Lakshman to stay to protect his mother and the kingdom and everything. And Lakshman basically shows all these intense emotions. And then Ram gets ready to leave. I'm just for fast forward. Gets ready to leave. And then all the citizens want to follow him to the forest. And Kaikeyi is really upset. You know, how could you do this? And she doesn't let all the citizens go. You know, they all want to go in exile. There'll be nobody left in the whole kingdom. So all the citizens are feeling this intense, you know, deeper love or impending deeper love at that point. Impending separation from the warrior. And they're just experiencing these really intense emotions. And finally, Ram goes and everybody's following him. And Ram sends them back. And then Ram goes to the, Dandakaranya at that particular point, but he actually goes to the bank of the river, and he crosses the river, the Ganges actually, and he tells Sumantra, his prime minister of his father, you go back, and Sumantra collapses, feeling separation. So everybody loved Ram so much. And then he tells Guha to go back. Guha says, it's interesting that Ram is actually high-class Kshatriya. Guha is a Nishadha, you know, forest dweller. Actually, it's described that his business was ferrying people across the Ganges. And then Ram embraces it. Because nowadays, you know, you have people with this discrimination between the different castes. They won't touch or have a shudra walk on their shadow or something like that. A lot of discrimination. We're preaching to people like that in Govardhan. We actually have a whole center for the village people who are not even allowed in the temples there. You know, the Brajavasis who are not allowed in the temples because they're considered low class and they work for us at the Radhakutan project. So we were talking to them, encouraging them to to chant away, giving them japa beads and everything like that. Very interesting. So Ram embraced Guha. And they were both crying in separation from each other as he left Guha. That's a famous story in the Ramayana. And so then getting back to Dasarath, Dasarath is just like experiencing not only separation from Ram, but anger towards Kaikeyi. So you see all these manifestations of love come in different varieties. That's the point I was making. It's not that love is just like, I love pizza or something like that. You know, you say to your wife, I love you, but and then then when your wife doesn't please you anymore, you know, whatever, like it says in the Bhagavatam in Kali Yuga, this loving relationship between man and wife is simply based upon sex life. And so this is not love in the material world. So anyway, love has many different varieties. Sometimes it's anger. And even sometimes the beloved gets angry at the lover. I mean, you have a Yashoda mind, you get angry at Krishna for protection, to protect Krishna. You know, he's eating mud, or dirt, because he gets angry at him. And so it's manifest in so many different ways. So basically, you have Dasarath, who's getting extremely angry at Kaikeyi, rejecting her, I don't want to see your face, you're not my wife anymore. Actually, one time he fainted, and Kausalya, the wife of Ram, the mother of Ram, picked Dasarath up on his left side, and Kaikeyi picked him up on the right side, and he just went, yeah! Don't touch me anymore. You know, imagine treating your wife like that. I don't want to see your face anymore. So the point I'm making is intense emotions are part of Krishna consciousness, right? And then Dasarath ultimately is lying there. He loses his sight because he's feeling so much separation from Ram. I mean, he can't see anymore. He says, I can't see anymore. And then he dies in the middle of the night. The next morning, the bards come. Bards are the people who sing. It's interesting, in the Vedic system, the kings actually have these bards who glorify them in the morning. That's part of being in the mode of passion. You like to hear your own glorification. They glorify him for everything they've done. Imagine waking up like that, having your alarm clock saying, my alarm clock, you know, Devi Krishna Maharaj, you're the greatest sannyasi, you travel all over the world. He's livening everybody. You know, get up, joy! Really enlivened. So the bards come to wake him up the next morning, and he doesn't get up. And the royal physician comes and takes his pulse, and obviously there's no pulse. And he dies feeling separation from Ram. And that's love. Yugayatam nimisheva chakshusha pravashayatam. Shunyayatam jagat sarvam. Govinda viranename. So if we actually want to love Krishna, we need to come to that point of, you know, intense emotions while we're chanting, while we're performing bhakti yoga, while we're serving the Vaishnavas, while we're preaching Krishna consciousness. And you could hear that in Prabhupada. Every morning I'm listening this morning, of course, too. I'm listening to Prabhupada. You know, the intensity of his emotion. This enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Prabhupada, I mean, being with Prabhupada, it was actually, everything was very focused and intense. Sometimes with other people, it's like you've got a camera that hasn't been focused, you know, the old cameras in the manual focus, it's just like everything was blurred. But with Prabhupada, it's just like everything comes super sharp image, super sharp sound, because Prabhupada's intensity of emotion is there. So, anyway, we're meant to come to that particular point by associating with people Why? By his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, serving his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, and extending or expanding our self-centeredness to the point of who we understand who we're actually connected to. Krishna, we're actually part of Krishna. Manivansa Jivaloke. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Manachastani Andriyadi Prakriti Stani Parshati. We are part and parcel of God. Even the body is part and parcel of God's energy. Everything. Everything. We're just part and parcel of Him. We're connected. Just like the hippies used to say. We're all connected to the flow. Remember that? Another Christian way. Connection. So we're all connected to Krishna in that way. And just like we should be riding a roller coaster of intense emotions like Dasarath. And Krishna will make the arrangements like he does with Dasarath for us to have these intense emotions. And then Raso Varjan, Raso Pursat, Param Dushat, and Dark today, we're actually become detached from this material world. I was hearing about, there was a psychological analysis, very interesting, about happiness. It was in a TED talk, which I watch sometimes when I'm in Maya. So, the man was saying that the highest type, I'm going to give a seminar on this eventually after I bring all the points together in my mind, but the highest type of happiness is to be absorbed so you don't notice time going by, number one, and two, have a goal in life. So we have the highest goal in life, which is to serve Krishna. Not simply be Krishna conscious. Yes, I want to be Krishna conscious. But to be like Shita Shunyam, to actually want to please Krishna, want to feel love for Krishna. That's really what it means to be Krishna conscious, to feel that intense love. And then to be connected 24 hours a day, you know, really kind of, he described this as the highest happiness. He was analyzing happiness. And he said the first type of happiness is not high, where you just want thinking of personal pleasure, you know, restricted individual pleasure. He said the problem with that, which is really interesting, very much in line with Bhagavad Gita philosophy, is that the more you have, you become accustomed to it and you want more. It's like taking a drug. Then, you know, yeah, you get the pleasure, but I want more of the same thing, more of the same thing. Like more drugs or more chocolate or something. But he said that pleasure basically has a beginning and end, like just like Krishna says. So even scientifically, that's an analysis. I can give you a psychologist's name later.
Well, you know, Krishna says, sort of wise man
does not delight in it. But the highest happiness, he says, be connected and have a goal. Two things. So we should be very much goal-oriented. Okay. On that happy note,